muted. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the BioArctic Q3 2017 report conference call. Today, I'm pleased to present the CEO, Gunilla Osswald, and CFO, Jan Mattsson. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Speakers, please begin.
Thank you so much. Most welcome to the BioArctic Q3 report presentation. I'm Gunilla Osswald, and I'm CEO of BioArctic. I've been with BioArctic for almost 5 years now, and I have extensive experience in drug development. I've been with AstraZeneca for 28 years, and at the end, I was vice president responsible for the neurodegenerative portfolio of programs in Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. My background, I'm a pharmacist, and I have a PhD in clinical pharmacology.
I'm Jan Mattsson. I'm the company CFO since February this year. I have 30 years experience within the finance field, of which 20 years as CFO in small and large companies, privately held and publicly traded within various industries. Now, Gunilla.
Okay, next slide, please. Next slide. Thank you. Now we are on page three. I'll start with a short introduction to BioArctic. BioArctic is a research-intensive biopharma company, and we're focusing on three areas where there is a huge unmet medical need: Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, and complete spinal cord injuries. Today, there are only symptomatic treatments on the market for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, and what we aim to do is to develop disease-modifying treatments that will affect the underlying disease. If we think about complete spinal cord injury patients, they have nothing. If we could help these patients, that would be fantastic. We have a highly educated personnel, and we work closely together with key consultants and with contract research organizations, as well as universities and our strategic partners. In Alzheimer's disease, we have a long-term strategic partnership with Eisai, which is a Japanese global pharmaceutical company. In Parkinson's disease, we have a huge collaboration with the American global biopharma company, AbbVie, since last year. Our portfolio that we will describe here today consists of a combination of fully funded projects through our strategic partners and our own projects with a substantial market and out-licensing potential. Next slide, please. I'll talk a little bit about our two important strategic partnerships. We start with Eisai, which we have had a long, successful collaboration with since 2005, and in Parkinson's disease with AbbVie since last year. Eisai, we have had two research collaborations, which has ended up with license agreements, and the most advanced program here is BAN2401, who is currently in large phase II-B trials. We are now working on our third research collaboration. The aggregated value of the agreement with Eisai is up to 218 million euros plus royalties, and so far we have received 47 million euros. These licenses that we have with Eisai includes Alzheimer's disease, and BioArctic will still own other indications, as well as marketing rights in the Nordic region. In Parkinson's disease, we have a large research collaboration since September last year with AbbVie. Here we will work on delivering BAN0805, which is the most advanced project there, to a U.S. investigator new drug application to start clinical trials in the U.S. We also are working on follow-up compounds and diagnostic tools. The total potential value of this collaboration and this agreement is up to $755 million plus royalties. So far, we have received $80 million. Next slide, please. This slide shows our portfolio, and it consists of five Alzheimer's disease projects, of which BAN2401 is the most advanced. It's currently in large phase II-B trials in the U.S., Canada, Europe, Japan, and South Korea. Currently, there are 856 patients included, and we are waiting for the 12-month data that will come late this year or early next year. Eisai is driving this program, and Biogen came on board as a partner to them in 2014. We plan to explore BAN2401 in other indications, such as Down syndrome with dementia and traumatic brain injury. Eisai have taken the license for the backup compound, BAN2401 backup, and they are driving this program further. Together we are now in our third research collaboration working on AE1501, which is jointly owned between Eisai and BioArctic. We also have two innovative Alzheimer programs of our own that are in discovery phase. And in Parkinson's disease, we have BAN0805, which is the most advanced program in collaboration with AbbVie. But there are also other follow-up programs in preclinical stage. When you work on disease-modifying treatments for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, it is important to be able to follow treatment effect and to identify patients at an early stage and to be able to start treatment at an early phase of the disease. Therefore, we are working on biomarkers and diagnostic tools in Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. We are also working on a technology that we call the brain shuttle technology in order to get the antibodies better over the blood-brain barrier to come into the brain. And our third area that we work on is complete spinal cord injuries. And there we are in combined phase 1 and phase 2 trials with a combination of a medical device, a biodegradable device, and a drug, FGF1. This trial is currently ongoing in Sweden, and we are preparing for opening it up in Norway, Estonia, and Finland. Next slide, please. And next slide again. So now we are on slide 7. And I will point to some important events during third quarters. In Alzheimer's disease, BAN2401 had its 16th interim analysis by an independent monitoring committee. And this was then after 800 Alzheimer's disease patients had been treated for 9 months. Their decision was to continue according to plan, and there was no stop for futility. And the next interim analysis at 12 months for all 856 patients included. And at that stage, there are no futility analysis included. In spinal cord injury, we have got an amendment approved by the regulatory authorities, and that makes it possible for us now to add an extension part to the study with a rehabilitation of an additional 12 months for the treated patients. We have also been able now to expand the inclusion criteria to get patients who have an injury which is up to 10 years old. Our board of directors has been strengthened during this period. We have Wenche Rolfsson as a chairman, and we have also now got Eugene Steiner as a new board member, adding important competence to the board. After the period, we had some really important events for us. 12th of October, BioArctic was listed on Nasdaq Stockholm Mid Cap, and new shares were issued of up to 600 million Swedish crowns. That now will enable our early programs to be developed in a good way. And we got an important patent granted in Europe, which is the substance patent for BAN0805 in Parkinson's disease. Then we go to next slide, please. This graph shows our anticipated news flow, and I will point to some important happenings. We are, as I said, waiting for BAN2401 12-month interim data, which is expected late this year or early next year. And here we plan a short press release, which will state that the preset criteria at 12 months interim analysis has been met or not met, and that the study will continue for the full 18-month treatment. And it is really important to handle this information in a correct way, since this is a study which is sized like a phase 3 trial, and we do not want to jeopardize the blinding in this study in any way. So that will be a very low key press release, and the important readout from the full study will come at the end of 2018 or early 2019. So it's really exciting times coming ahead of us. In Parkinson's disease, we had recently in the press release about BAN0805 substance patent being granted in Europe. And an important press release is expected a bit in the future regarding when we have the IND in place, so start clinical trials in the US. And at that time, we also hope that AbbVie will exercise the option for the full license. In spinal cord injury, long-term program. We have eight patients included in the study, and after we have had the next patient in the first panel included and treatment started, we will prepare for a press release. And we are also now working on including other countries, as I said, Norway, Finland, and Estonia. And when we have had all the nine patients in the first panel A had their 18-month treatment or follow-up period, then we will do an interim analysis, and that will be then either a stop for futility, or if we see a good effect signal and a good safety tolerability profile, that will trigger several important events. So then we go to the next slide, please. I'll just mention some comments about our transformation of BioArctic to a listed company. During Q3, we had a lot of final preparations for the IPO, and during our roadshow, we met many very knowledgeable investors, and we were very happy to see our great cornerstone investors, such as the Third National Pension Fund in Sweden, HBM Healthcare Investments in Switzerland, as well as Handelsbanken Fonder, Second Swedish National Pension Fund, and Inbox Capital. Next slide, please. So the 12th of October, BioArctic was listed on Nasdaq Stockholm Mid Cap, and new shares resulted in that we got about 550 million Swedish crowns to continue development of our early programs. The total offering of 805 million Swedish crowns was the largest biotech offering in Sweden since the year 2000, and we now have about 2,500 new shareholders. To the right, you can see our top shareholders at the end of October, and that includes our founders, who are still strongly committed to the company, as well as strong institutional investors in Sweden, U.K., U.S., and Switzerland. I will now hand over to our CFO, Jan Mattsson. Next slide, please.
Thank you. We're on slide 11, and this is the numbers for the third quarter of 2017 for BioArctic. Net revenues increased from 1.2 million to 31.5 million SEK, mainly due to the AbbVie collaboration agreement that started in Q4 of 2016. Consequently, also our R&D expenses increased from 8.9 million to 21.4 million SEK. Overhead expenses, which includes marketing, admin costs, and other operating expenses, increased substantially from 3.7 million in the corresponding quarter to 12.2 million in Q3 2017. And this increase was partly related to foreign exchange losses of 4.1 million and partly due to IPO costs of 3.1 million. Our operating profit increased from minus 10.2 million to plus 0.6 million. And adding back non-recurring IPO costs, the operating profit amounted to 3.7 million. Next slide, please. Slide 12. We have a strong cash position. At the end of the third quarter, we had around 600 million cash at banks, and after the share issue in connection with the IPO in October, our current position is that we have a little more than 1.1 billion SEK cash at the banks. 200 million of this is related to is in foreign currency exchange, and that is in order to meet with to cover commitments that we have in our specifically in our agreement with AbbVie. And this resulted in a currency exchange loss in the third quarter of 4.1 million, and for the January-September period, that amount was minus 9.3 million. Also in the third quarter, as we overlook the status of the AbbVie total costs, we could release some of it, and we revalued the cost in Q3, which had a positive income of 3.9 million in the quarter. And as I mentioned on previous slide, admin costs for being a listed company will add to admin costs and will remain on a somewhat higher level than what we had in recent years. But to sum up, we are proud to show a positive 3.3 million profit for the full January-September period. And operator, please, we are ready for questions now.
Next slide.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for the speakers, please press zero followed by the one on your telephone keypad. One moment for the first question. As a reminder, if you do wish to have a question, please press zero followed by the one on your telephone keypad. Thank you. There appear to be no questions. I'll return the conference back to you, speakers.
Okay, then we thank everyone who has listened in to today's call. Thank you so much for your attention.